Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Just want to thank you guys for leading us this morning. Appreciate it. Sorry about the liturgy. I'm not sure why that didn't show up the whole way. I'd like to, just for the next few moments, remind us who we are as God's people. Now, 1 John tells us that God is light, light in a world of darkness, and Jesus reminds us that we are light and that we carry the light of God. And in times like this, often as we face the enormity of things that happen in the world, we can feel very helpless and we can feel like there's no way we can make a difference. We feel like a very small raindrop in an ocean of hurt and pain. But here's what I want you to hear this morning. Your presence in the world matters. Your presence in the world matters because your presence in the world is Christ's presence in the world. Your presence in the world is Christ's presence in the world. I want to read a few verses from the Sermon on the Mount. I want to invite you to hear them as this Jesus is speaking to us now into our current context, to us as God's people, reminding us who we are and why our presence in the world matters. From Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." Friends, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how is it going to be made salty again? It's not good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Friends, you're the light of the world. Friends, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The people first hearing this, the audience of Jesus in Matthew 5, suffered from the same things that we're facing. Their economy was a wreck. They were overtaxed by Rome and by the temple system. They suffered oppression and violence at the hands of an occupying nation whose Pax Romana was a peace by Rome was enforced by violence. The religious leaders had lost the heart of their faith, replacing it instead with rules and with regulations that equated to righteousness, therefore putting people out when God's invitation was to invite people in. And into this environment, Jesus speaks these words to a crowd that was at the bottom of the heap. In the midst of this, those who are living the kingdom and those who desire to live the kingdom that Jesus is teaching of are salt and light to the world. Friends, I want to remind us again that our presence in the world matters because our presence in the world is Christ's presence in the world. Historically, throughout the whole biblical narrative, God's people were always supposed to be an alternative to the ways of the world. This is why Abram was called out, because he was somebody who was seeking God, and God established this relationship with Abram to be an example to the nations of what living the life that God intended looks like. And so he calls Abram out and begins this movement into a specific group of people that goes throughout all of human history. God delivers this people, Israel, from Egypt, frees them, because he wants to establish a relationship with a people who will live among the nations to show the nations what it is like to live the way God intended for us to live. It wasn't about rules and regulations. Sometimes we get lost in all the verbiage and the do nots and everything in Leviticus, but the whole point was to establish Israel as a light to the nations, as the way to live in relationship with God, as an alternative to the violence that we see in those early chapters of Genesis. Even in the midst of exile, and we get this in the historical books and the prophets, God's people were asked to live alternatively, even as captors. And so we think of this in the person of Daniel, whose diet was different, whose prayers were different. The three Israelites who were eventually thrown into a furnace because of their faithfulness. But we are also reminded of Jeremiah's words to those who are in exile. It says, plant vineyards, have kids, build houses, take up residence here, because your blessing is going to be the blessing of the nation. God's people always have been this beautiful flower, so to speak, that have been that is planted and blooms amidst the thorns. And friends, it's never been dominant. You know, we if we look out at the world and we think, well, how are we going to fix all this? Historically, in the scriptures, the faithful people have never been the dominant people. They've never been the people in power. They've rarely been the people in power. And if they've been the people in power, they've lost faithfulness over time because of power. But it's always been this seed that's so insignificant, that doesn't die. The book of Isaiah talks about this stump, this thing that was hacked off, and how there's going to be this sprout from the stump of Jesse. This tree has been completely mutilated, but yet there's going to be something tender and green that grows out of it. That's God's people throughout history. We may not ever be this field of wildflowers that overtakes everything, but most likely what will be is a flower that is incredibly noticeable in a field of thorns. That exemplifies beauty. That almost comes from a different realm, and it does. Us as God's people, as priests, have always been called to be an alternative to the normal, to the status quo, to the ways of this world. And this is how God changes the world. Small seeds that are planted amidst thorns. God's people are to be the good soil where these things grow. God's people are to bear witness to God's heart and to God's ways. In times like this, we often ask ourselves, what do we do? And it's an appropriate question because we feel like we have to react and we want to respond, and those things are good and there's places for them. We ask how we're going to change things, and this is an important question. But I'm also reminded of something that theologian Stanley Hauerwas said once. He said, the job of the Christian is not to change the world, but to bear witness to the world that God has changed. Over the last couple weeks, in this Easter season, we've been looking at passages from the book of Revelation, and we've been calling these things down, this language that we often use for this world that feels far away, this kingdom that's coming. It's not just language that's for them, but it's language that we pull on as God's people, that we rob from, that we take from, that we implement in the now. This is our identity. This is what we do as God's people. We bear witness to what will be in the here and the now. We can't do anything more than Jesus has done. The only thing that we can do is bear witness to an alternative way of living that seasons the blandness of the lack of creativity and vision the world has around us. Friends, you are the salt of the earth. Each one of you, just want to look at each one of you in the eyes. You are the salt of the earth. You're meant to bring flavor. Salt is meant to preserve. The world around us is dying. There is no lie to that. But you are salt. You are meant to preserve so that things do not die. You are meant to give flavor so that everything is not just bland and the world does not just look bleak. You're salt. But salt is only good if it's used. If it's not used, if it's not poured out, eventually it goes bad and it's not good for anything. You're salt. You're meant to be poured out onto the world around us, to preserve it and to give it flavor. Because this morning has been pretty heavy, I need to tell you a story that's a little lighter, okay? You can only use so much salt, though. My mom, last year, she's not here this morning, so that's good. Sorry, I got to. Last year, she made apple crisp, and I was so excited. We had this good dinner, and my kids, Chloe and Christian, were there with me. We sat down with this thing of apple crisp in front of us, vanilla ice cream on the side, and I took a bite. I was like, my mom apparently had used salt instead of sugar. The beautiful thing was none of my kids said anything because they didn't want to be mean. And so they were eating this salt. I'm going to her house for dinner today. I'm hoping that's not the case again. Sometimes the church feels like it needs to just heap itself on the world. That's not using salt in the right way, right? You can only give so much to flavor things without overdoing it. We can't do more than what God has done, but we can only bear witness to what God has done. We use the right amount of salt as we bear witness to what God has done. Friends, we're the light of the world. You can't see anything without light. And we help the world see in a different way. This is why people were so attracted to Jesus. He just talked differently. He helped people see differently. This is why people were so attracted to the early church, because their lives, not just their lifestyles, and this is where we can kind of make a mistake in terms of focus for the church. It's not just lifestyle that matters, but it was the quality of their lives and their life together that had people asking, who are these people? They're nuts, but I want to be a part of whatever they're doing. Because they led a beautiful life. They were different. Friends, we're stewards of this light. We tend to this light. And if we lose this light, the world can't see. The church is always a beacon, a lighthouse, so to speak. Something to focus on when everything else seems dark. Something to guide when everything else seems dark. And I am well aware of the fact that the church has fallen short of that. Far short of that. But that doesn't change the fact that that's what we're called to. It doesn't mean we keep beating ourselves up, but it does mean that we take ownership of being that light and tending to that light. What we're doing here this morning is tending that light, reminding ourselves that we're holding these things in tension with one another. I love Psalm 13. I love the song that Brian led, because we're a people who can say, God, where the heck are you? But yet still place our confidence in God. We can ask the hard questions, have the doubts, even be enraged at some points, bringing those things Godward, but still land that God is where our center is, our source is. That's part of holding the light. Jan Richardson, there's a small beatitude that's in your bulletin. She says this: blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and grief. Friends, this isn't, I hope you're hearing me, that our place in the world and our identity in the world, it doesn't come from a place of superiority. It doesn't come from a place of we're better than. It begins with a posture of humility, because we get it from Jesus, because he's the one we're following. But friends, you do matter in the world. The church does matter in the world, because your presence, the church's presence, is Christ's presence in the world. Don't neglect it. Don't forget it. Your presence in the world as you follow Jesus is the very thing that is meant to preserve the world around us and give it light. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to enter into a time of receiving communion. But let me just pray together, and then we'll end that prayer with the Lord's Prayer as we prepare to receive communion. Jesus, this morning I pray that you would renew our heart. Remind us that our heartbeat comes from the heartbeat of God. God, remind us of our calling as priests to the world, as mediators to the world of the love of God through Christ Jesus, as mediators to the world of the life that we find in the kingdom of God with Jesus as the Lord. Remind us, God, that we are priests to the world that bring light in the midst of darkness. God, teach us what it means to be present as Christ would be present in the world around us. Lord, I pray that as we end our time together this morning, that there would be a renewed sense of the importance and the necessity of God's people in the world as we are bearers of your light in darkness.